Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Stand by for news. Well, I pray this is kind of the story of your life. Spent the entire week, at least 8 hours a day, at the cross. We decided to save a bunch of money and do the parking lot. Reseal it a couple of times. But the fellowship, got to know some of my people. Yeah, we had up to 10 people a day out there doing their thing, and I so enjoy that. I can't wait, however, to be with all of the folks on Sunday morning, and I pray that's true for you as well. Are you enjoying your walk with Jesus Christ? Are you fellowshipping with other believers on a consistent basis? I mean, I need them, and they need me, and it's just been a wonderful week. I pray that you can say the very same thing about your life in Christ this week. God's been good to you. You've been out there doing a job for him, whether it's telling people about Jesus or serving mankind in some way. Yeah, we have a job to do here on this old earth until he calls us home. Let's do that fellowship thing a little more often, however. I pray that's your life. Well, they said it was never going to happen. It's happening. The race is tightening. Biden is saying some dumb things, and the Democrats are scared. But I made some people mad, and rightly so. Joe Biden says the black community lacks diversity of thought compared to the Latino community. Rob Smith, Iraqi war veteran, is not happy. The presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden thinks that the black community is too stupid to have a diversity of thought, says Smith. He's saying that our community is not as diverse in our thoughts as other communities. And by the way, this comes just a few months after he said that you ain't black if you don't vote for him, said Smith. I think Joe's got a problem there. Donald Trump's new campaign manager credited the revival of the president's daily briefings with narrowing that gap now between him and the Democratic nominee, saying that when the president speaks, it's a needle mover. Bill Stevens took over as the president's campaign manager in mid-July after Brad Parscale was demoted. At the time, the Trump re-election effort was staggering under the pressure of the coronavirus pandemic, which has killed 158,000 Americans, allegedly, and certainly crashed the economy. Since Stevens stepped in, Trump has changed his public approach to the virus. He now calls wearing protective equipment an act of patriotism after dismissing that value for months. While he still downplays the virus's effects and argues with scientists about it, he also sometimes takes a more somber tone. Most notably, he's revived the daily late-afternoon briefings in which he reads positive updates about the pandemic, encourages states and schools to reopen, and takes questions from reporters. Things getting a bit tighter. Well, that's good news. Let me ask you, my Christian friend, is God on your side? I mean, if you're a Christian, would you say God is on your side? President Donald Trump billed his trip to Ohio yesterday as a chance to promote economic recovery, but he quickly pivoted to a deeply personal attack on Joe Biden, even questioning without foundation, they say, the former vice president's faith in God. Even for a president known for his blunt criticism, Trump's remarks stood out, and they signaled how contentious the campaign may get in the coming months. Joe Biden better run for the hills. He's following the radical left agenda. Take away your guns, destroy your Second Amendment, no religion, no anything, hurt the Bible, hurt God, he's against guns, he's against energy, our kind of energy. I don't think he's going to do well in Ohio. What do you think? Trump said. Biden called the remarks beneath the office he holds. For President Trump to attack my faith is just shameful. Trump also used that trip to Ohio to talk about trade, telling workers at the Whirlpool plant, I will stand up for foreign trade cheaters and violators that hate America. Yeah, it's getting hot. Okay, let's see if we can figure this thing out here now. Crime has jumped. Homicides are up. Violent crime is up. Nonviolent crime is up. Now, what would you expect if you defund the police? At the end of June, the Minneapolis City Council voted unanimously to defund the city's police department. Minneapolis, Minnesota has to be, what, ridiculously left. Not to sugarcoat anything, Minnesota is like so many states here in America, where there's a real sharp divide between urban and rural. The Twin Cities metropolitan area is generally pretty liberal, and in greater Minnesota, the rest of the state is conservative. Isn't that something? Getting more conservative, as a matter of fact, all the time. And within the Twin Cities metro, the city of Minnesota itself is really left-wing. You could compare it to Seattle. Same thing, Portland. You can kind of see how Representative Omar got in here. She represents Minneapolis and some frontier suburbs. So that's the basic landscape in Minnesota. And the suburbs are the swing territory. But those cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul are really over there on the left. So let's defund the police in other cities and see how it works. It's not working in Minneapolis, Portland, or Seattle. Good grief. Let's talk about this reference to Portland, Oregon. Portland? What in the world? The mayor there, Ted Wheeler, last night, condemned the actions of rioters, really, who attempted to set fire to a police precinct and block the exits while officers were inside. When you commit arson with an accelerant in an attempt to burn down a building that is occupied by people who have intentionally been trapped inside, you're not demonstrating, you think? You're attempting to commit murder, said the mayor. Boy, somebody's waking up. Don't think for a moment that you're not participating in this activity. You are not being a prop for the re-election campaign of Donald Trump, because you absolutely are, he said. You're creating a B-roll film that will be in the ads nationally to help Donald Trump during his campaign. If you don't want to be a part of that, then don't show up. This one picture showing just dozens of people with lasers shining into the eyes of police officers. That's a blinding... Oh, good grief. Yeah, they're just crazy out there. No question. Straight out of Moronville. What's going on with the pandemic? The United States has recorded more than 2,000 coronavirus deaths in 24 hours. That's the highest number of daily fatalities in the last 90 days. Nearly 300,000 Americans could be dead from COVID-19 by the 1st of December, according to the University of Washington's health experts. That was their forecast yesterday, although they said 70,000 lives could be saved if people were scrupulous about wearing those masks. Here's a sign you can see about everywhere. We are closed until further notice due to COVID-19 concerns. Columbus, Mississippi, even before President Trump admonished his top coronavirus advisor for saying the country was entering a new phase of widespread infection, patients at Mississippi's only level one trauma hospital were already on a waiting list for ICU beds. Our ICUs have been full for weeks, said the head doctor there, and a very acute issue we're facing here. It's a mess. Mississippi now experiencing the country's highest rate of positive deaths. It's emblematic of the pandemic's new reality in America. The virus is no longer principally an urban problem. It's present throughout every state, and those infected often don't know it, leading to what top health officials call inherent community spreads. And school, going back to school, say parents. Isn't this just crazy? What is happening in America? What if they can afford it? Let's go to the San Francisco Bay Area. Alameda County has launched a new program there to help patients while stay at home once they've been diagnosed with the coronavirus. County officials hope to slow the spread of COVID-19 by helping families that face a sudden financial crisis when a test comes back positive. They're saying we're giving them $1,250 to stay home. Some of the other pandemic news in a brief. Birx warns there's a big uptick in 9 cities in America. Dr. Birx. Dr. Fauci is already worried and talking about the next pandemic wave coming. Residents brace for thousands who are going to attend, 100,000, the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally. Quarantine checkpoints are opening up in New York City's Penn Station. It is getting worse. Cities, they're going to the extreme in every area. The stores are it's just unbelievable. And what does Canada say to the United States and its visitors? Please do not sneak across our border. On my Facebook page, somebody put this up today. Five Guys Burgers. I understand they have a great hamburger. Not serving cops? Five Guys has employees who refuse to serve police are fired, suspended. For its part, like in the Daphne Police Department, they released a statement yesterday saying they appreciate the outpouring of support from our community and from supporters of law enforcement across the country. So, must be some isolated incidents there. If I give you $1,200, what are you going to do with it? More news right after this important message. Has it happened to you lately? Doubting God in certain areas of your life? You might want to read Psalm 19 today, starting there with verse 7. What happens when those doubts sneak in? I have my fellowship with God hindered. Believers are to live by faith, which is the only way to please God, according to Romans 1:17. My prayers become ineffective when I fail to trust God. The impossible becomes possible only for those who believe God and don't doubt Him, Matthew 21:21. And God asks Christians to do God-sized things. That doesn't leave us to our own devices. He promises that the Holy Spirit will empower you to fulfill His plan. And what about those blessings? Doubt produces discouragement, which crowds out my joy in the Lord and the peace that only Jesus can give, John 14:27. When doubts come up, follow these simple steps. Identify which part of your thinking is causing you to not trust God. Recall a time when He faithfully sustained you and brought you through that trial. And identify a promise or an attribute that God points your way back to faith in Him. You and I need to do that frequently. So you give people money, guess what? They're going to spend it, and they might even pay off their debts. Yesterday, the New York Fed reported that despite a historic economic downturn, overall, U.S. household debt decreased $34 billion in the second quarter. That's the first time in 6 years. Why would that be? Gee, you wonder, social distancing restrictions out there? They're not going to the booze joints, disseminating the market for impulse purchases? I think so. Since we're barely leaving the house, we're not piling up on purchases of our visas. Plus, the government padded checking accounts with a one-time direct payment and supplemental unemployment benefits, helping people slash their credit card balances. And this slash they did. Credit card debt plummeted $76 billion, the steepest decline ever. Mortgage debt, on the other hand, ballooned to almost $10 trillion. Record low rates brought hordes of borrowers to, well, the finance companies. Looking ahead, can the good news last? Unemployment rate above 11%. Banks have been squirreling away massive financial cushions against loan defaults, indicating they don't think this debt reduction party can last very long. Jobless claims dipped below 1.2 million last week, and that's the first decline in 2 weeks. However, the extra $600 a week supporting unemployed Americans no longer exist, and Congress can't agree on a new relief bill, which is why yesterday President Trump said he might have to take things into his own hands. Today, we get the July jobs report, the most closely watched economic data point for the month. Buckle up, this one's going to get ugly. Yep, got business, politics, alleged corruption, guns, let's get it all. Following a year-and-a-half investigation, New York Attorney General Lolita James filed a lawsuit yesterday seeking to dismantle the National Rifle Association. Yeah, the NRA, that's the country's most influential gun rights group, alleging years of illegal self-dealings. The lawsuit accuses two former execs, along with the current CEO there, Wayne Lapeer, and General Counsel John Fraser, of using the nonprofit as a kind of a personal piggy bank to fund family vacations and private jets and enrich close friends. Lapeer allegedly used NRA reserves for 8 trips to the Bahamas, luxury car services, hair and makeup for his wife. In the rebuttal, the NRA president, Carolyn Meadows, called this suit a baseless, premeditated attack on our organization. President Trump said it was a very terrible thing, and the NRA should move to Texas and lead a very good and beautiful life. From internal power struggles to a growing deficit, the NRA's dealings with severe financial challenges already, and now it's facing a substantial legal battle that could last for years. So many of you are a part of the NRA. What do you think? probably more of the lefty loonies trying to, well, you know. It's happening. Even as the number of confirmed coronavirus cases has leveled off in recent weeks, moving companies say they remain inundated with requests from people who want to leave New York City. Big Apple-based moving company Oz Moving, for example, told Fox that the volume of move continues to rise at a substantial rate in addition to a drastic spike in storage compared with previous years. The company's seen an average increase in quote requests of 30% year over year. By July 15th, Oz Moving was booked to the capacity for the remainder of the month. It's the first time in 27 years the company was unable to take on any additional jobs. We're getting out of town big time in New York. Hey, do you happen to have one of these? Not likely. An unopened case of 1986-87 Fleer basketball cards. I like that gum. It sold for more than $1.78 million in an auction conducted by Collect Auctions last night. They say there's probably no more out there now. That's a bunch of money. Who said that? Sin produces punishment. Idleness produces poverty. A virtuous life produces happiness. And faithfulness produces rewards. And this is good. I can't brag about my love for God because I fail him every day. But I can brag about his love for me because God never fails me. I'm sure many of you can amen that today. Amen. Where's my Bible? Life 101, right after this very important message. Stay tuned, my friend. Have I told you lately how much I love you? It's true. You're one of those that's here all the time listening to Hello World. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's a big deal to have you a part of Greg Patton Ministries, producer of Hello World. Your prayer is so important. And I think just giving me your time, just being here for a half hour every day, it's really a big deal. For those of you that support us one time or every month, and there are several of you now, we say thank you. You keep things going. The machine stays oiled and running. Thank you for supporting Christian radio, and we personally want to thank you for being a part of Hello World. You, my friend, are a big blessing. So when it comes to America and freedom and all the right things in the United States of America, I'm way over there. I am, without question, the extreme. And you hear a lot about freedom today, and you should. And it's not just freedom from the terrorists and the tyranny and the rioters and, oh, everything going on today. But how about stress? I mean, with things going on here with this pandemic, it's got to be growing, right? Worry, doubt. You have financial concerns. My daughter's boyfriend is owed about $12,000 in back pay and having trouble paying. That's a financial concern. There's a lot of confusion out there, and if the Bible is correct, and we know it is, the author of confusion is Satan. And often we're told if we just think a certain way, or maybe if we vote this way and put this person in, we live a certain lifestyle, we are truly going to be free. Do you believe that? Here is the truth. There is only, now mark it down, one source of true freedom. That is Jesus Christ. He is not an answer. He is the only answer. In our confused world today, in the time in which we live, it's very good news because all of this will provide a prescription for what our troubled world and our troubled America needs the most, and that's faith in an immovable sovereign Lord who loves us unconditionally. I like that. And has a wonderful plan for each life. Everyone listening to the program right now, he has a plan. Jesus told his followers, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will," well, there you go, "set you free, make you free," John 8:31 and 32. However, then his words fell on deaf ears. Are you listening? The hearts of the people were bound by tradition. They believed they had a formula that could be applied to every problem you could possibly face. And most of the time, this involved human ability and human work. We can take care of it. A lot of our attitude today is, I'm going to give the really big things to God, but most of my life I can take care of. Well, the answer to Christ's remarks were not surprising. We are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say we will become free? We're already free. Does that sound familiar? From their perspective, the people were not captive. Oh, no, we're free. Yet from God's viewpoint, and that's the one that's critical and most important, obviously, they were slaves to their pride. Many people go through their life with this same attitude today, and Proverbs 23:7 works very well here. As a man thinketh, as you think in your heart, that's what you are. They mistakenly thought that they were free when they were in bondage to, and we are today, those sinful attitudes, those sinful habits, those sinful beliefs. It's all wrong. One man remarks, no one is going to tell me how to live. Hey, that was Greg Patton years ago. No one going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm my own person. I'm free to make my own decisions. You've heard of self-made men. They're millionaires. None of that is true. It's all false. Jesus delivered a stunning blow to this way of thinking. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. However, the Son, Jesus Christ, makes you free. You will be free indeed if you go that route. John 8:34-36. What does it mean to have true liberty in this old world? Galatians 5:1 says, it was for freedom that Jesus Christ set us free. It's my prayer for you today, my friend, that you would desire the freedom that comes in the person of Jesus Christ and Him exclusively. You got to get saved today. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's step one up that ladder of life. Then you start working out your own salvation. You start living what that good book says. Freedom above all else, Jesus Christ will give it to you. Many people today mistakenly think they are free when they're really in bondage. You want true freedom? Jesus Christ is the answer. Let's follow that 8-year-old kid in Conway, South Carolina. Feeding the hungry, mowing lawns for busy first responders and single mothers are just a few of the ways Grayson Winfield is making a positive impact. With the help of mom and dad, this 8-year-old started an organization called Helping Footprint, which collects donations that are used to buy gift cards for food, help pay bills for area families. The son of two former firefighters has grown up around acts of service all his life, which is short, and inspired him to do his part in the community and work toward becoming a man like, well, he said, President John F. Kennedy. Grayson wants to be a Navy SEAL because helping others is the right thing to do in America. Isn't that cool? And sometimes we just make it too complicated. Little boy eating an apple in the back seat of the car asked Dad, hey, Dad, why is my apple turning brown? Well, because, son, the dad explained, after you ate the skin off, the meat of the apple came in contact with the air, which caused it to oxidize and thus changing the molecular structure and turning a different color, son. There was a long silence, and then the son asked softly, Daddy, are you talking to me? I have people at church say that to me after the Sunday morning message. You talking to me? You've been listening to Hello World. I'm Greg Patton. News, information, and comment every day at this time. Thank God it's Friday. Yes, indeed. That means Sunday. Thank God it's Saturday and then Sunday. We're going to do our thing together. Church, pray you're there, my friend. Joining in fellowship and hearing the word of God proclaimed in song and in word. So that's it. Some of you, I'll be with you tomorrow or Sunday on some stations. So for most of you, until Monday, God bless you. Have a fantastic weekend and a great Friday here. Back here on Monday, okay?